audio is from Anchor Church. More information is available at anchorhowell.com.
All right. Good morning, everyone. So as Ben said, my name is Devin, and we're going to be continuing our study in the book of Jonah. And so the book of Jonah takes place during the reign of King Jeroboam II, who was king of the northern kingdom of Israel, and Israel between kind of 793 BC to 753 BC. And during this time, God spoke to Jonah, telling him to go to Nineveh, which is one of the great cities of the Assyrian Empire, located in modern-day Iraq. And he was sent there to warn them that God's judgment would come upon them if they did not believe in God and repent of their sin. Jonah refuses to obey God's command because he knows that if he warns the Assyrians, who are Israel's enemies, that God will show mercy to them. He so strongly felt this way that he decides to end his career as a prophet and exile himself from his home country by seeking to go away from the presence of God and go the opposite direction of Nineveh, which was towards Tarshish. And last week, we read about how God sent a deadly storm upon the ship that was headed towards Tarshish that Jonah was on. And instead of turning to God for help, Jonah tells the sailors to toss him into the sea in order to calm the storm. And so the sailors toss Jonah into the sea, and today we're going to see what happens to Jonah after he's tossed into the water. And so as we dive into our passage today, we just want to keep in mind that the book of Jonah as a whole was written for the purpose that we might align our hearts with God's heart of mercy towards the lost. So go ahead and open up your Bibles if you have a Bible. We're actually going to start with the very last verse of chapter 1 in Jonah, and then we're going to be going through all of chapter 2. And so it's going to be, if you have one of the church Bibles, I believe it's page 774. And again, we're going to start with verse 17 of chapter 1 and then go right into chapter 2. So it says, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the root of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." So at the start of our passage, we see that God appoints a great fish to swallow Jonah, where he stays for 3 days and three nights. And then verse 10 at the very end of chapter 2 says that God speaks to the great fish and Jonah is vomited out onto the dry land. And the majority of chapter 2 in the middle contains a prayer from Jonah that he says while he's in the belly of the great fish. And so it's in this unique period of Jonah's life that we see Jonah calling out to God in the midst of his desperation. And we see God showing Jonah mercy through salvation. And so that's the main idea of our passage today, is that we're to call out to God in the midst of your desperation, and he will show you mercy through salvation. Now, prior to verse 17, before our passage, it appears that justice is being served to Jonah. So he doesn't follow God's command. He flees to Tarshish in an attempt to escape God's presence. And he doesn't seek God in any of his decisions. So having Jonah tossed into the sea to die would be perfectly just in light of his rebellion against God. However, before Jonah repents or seeks after God, God has already chosen to be merciful to Jonah by appointing a great fish to come and swallow him whole, preserving his body from the violent sea. Even though Jonah deserved to die in the sea, God chose to be merciful to Jonah by giving him his life back. And in verse 1 of chapter 2, it introduces the following 8 verses as Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish. And so this prayer is structured in a very poetic fashion. It's very much like a psalm. And while it might seem out of place in the book of Jonah, inserting poems and psalms and narratives was actually very common at the point in time that this book was written in. And so writing in this style actually gave the storyteller an opportunity to use more imagery and more emphasis in order to communicate how impactful this moment is in the story. And so the first half of Jonah's prayer recounts the distress that he experienced while being thrown overboard. So back in chapter 1, God had sent a great storm upon the sea, which prevented Jonah from fleeing to Tarshish. And Jonah told the sailors to toss him overboard in order to calm the storm. And so rather than seeking God's mercy to stop the storm, Jonah says to just toss him into the raging sea. And so throughout Jonah's prayer that he prays from the belly of the great fish, he describes the physical distress that he was experiencing while he was in the water. In verse 3, he says that he was cast into the deep, all the way to the heart of the seas, with waves and billows going over him. In verse 5, it says the waters closed in over him to take his life, and the deep surrounded him. And the Hebrew there actually says the water surrounded his nephesh, which is his life breath. And so it indicates that not only was he running out of air, kind of drowning in the sea, but that his life was being choked out as well. And so we see this idea of death coming for Jonah in the first half of his prayer. Even in verse 2, he says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Now, when he refers to Sheol, he's referring to the realm of the dead. And so this is not the only reference to the raging sea being Jonah's death sentence. The heart of the seas in verse 3, the waters closing in over him to take his life in verse 5, and verse 6, where it says both that he was at the roots of the mountains and that the bars of the earth closed upon him. All of these poetic phrases tell us that the raging sea is essentially a death sentence for Jonah. And so if Jonah's left to his own devices, he's going to perish forever. He's in a very desperate situation brought about by his own decision to flee from the presence of the Lord. And we see some foreshadowing of this back in chapter 1, specifically verse 3, where it says, But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And so in saying that Jonah went down to Joppa and down into the ship, it gives us a glimpse that each step that Jonah made in trying to flee from God's presence was actually a step taking him further down towards death. And so the idea is that Sheol is kind of under the earth. That's the realm of the dead. And so each step that he takes down is getting him closer and closer to death. But the turning point for Jonah happens in verse 7. So verse 7 says, When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. And so Jonah is at a point of complete hopelessness and desperation. He feels his life is fading away, his life breath is being surrounded. And yet it is in this moment of desperation that Jonah remembers the Lord and calls out to him in prayer. And this is the first time in the book of Jonah that we finally see him seek God in any way. All the way up to this point, Jonah has sought to escape God's presence and does not seek him in any way. But God placed Jonah in such a hopeless situation that Jonah would finally see how much he needs God to save him. And it's not as though God was waiting for Jonah to come around on his own. God had already chosen to be merciful to Jonah before Jonah sought him in his mercy. Back at the end of chapter 1, God had already appointed the great fish to come and swallow Jonah and keep his body safe from the violent seas. And not only that, but while Jonah is in the fish for 3 days and three nights, God had sovereignly directed where the fish was to swim so that when the time was right, God would speak to the fish in a way that only God can, telling it to vomit Jonah upon the dry land. And something interesting here is that Jonah should have known God was fully capable of doing this. Because when he told the sailors who God is, if you look back at verse 9 in chapter 1, Jonah told the sailors, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And so even though he didn't act like it, because he tried to run away from God by dry land to get to Joppa, and then he tried to flee from God by sea to go to Tarshish, Jonah knew that God made the seas and the dry land that he was fleeing on. And so God is fully capable of sending a great storm to stop the ship, sending a fish to swallow Jonah, guiding that fish to land, and telling that fish to vomit Jonah onto the dry land. God's in control of all his creation. And as he famously said in Exodus 33:19, God says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And so God decided to be gracious to Jonah and save him, even when Jonah was running toward his death to get away from God. He had the great fish at just the right spot in the sea, waiting for Jonah to have himself tossed in by the sailors. So even before Jonah calls out to God for help, God had already chosen to be merciful to Jonah. And with God showing Jonah this mercy, we would hope that Jonah would repent of his rebellion against God and truly align his heart with God's heart of mercy toward the lost. And it sounds promising in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2. So if you look at verses 8 and 9, it says, "Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." Now at the surface, these words sound great. However, when we look at the full context of the story of Jonah, these words show that Jonah still doesn't really align his heart with God's heart of mercy towards the lost. He mentions those who pay regard to vain idols. And that's likely a reference to the sailors, who in chapter 1, they each called out to their own gods, their own idols. But Jonah himself is the one who tried to leave the steadfast love of God by fleeing from his presence. And as we saw last week, the sailors, in response to God revealing himself in the storm, they genuinely fear God, who revealed himself in the storm. And they fear God, they make sacrifices, they make vows to him, which is something that Jonah only claims that he'll do in verse 9. And as we look at the rest of the story in the next couple weeks, we see that Jonah doesn't wholeheartedly follow God and align himself with God's heart of mercy toward the lost. And we see other elements of this in Jonah's prayer as well, so not just in those verses, that show he doesn't quite grasp what God intended. He doesn't have a genuine repentance that aligns himself with God. So back in verse 3, Jonah says that God cast him into the deep, when in reality it was Jonah's idea to have the sailors toss him overboard. It was a decision that Jonah appears to have made without seeking God, and we talked about that last week. In verse 4, Jonah says that he's driven away from God's sight, as if it were someone other than Jonah who was responsible for him being in the midst of the raging sea. And as we already saw, it was Jonah who sought to flee God's presence, and it was Jonah who asked to be thrown overboard into the raging sea. So Jonah was the one who drove himself away from God's sight, even though Jonah says in verse 3 of his prayer that God was the one who cast him away. And so even though there doesn't appear to be an actual heart change from Jonah, we still see God showing Jonah mercy through salvation, and Jonah calling out to God in the midst of his desperation. Jonah sees that he's going to die. He calls out to God in the midst of his distress. And God chooses to be merciful to Jonah by appointing the great fish to swallow him and bring him back to the shore because God is rich in mercy. And just like Jonah did, we too can call out to God in the midst of our desperation, and he will show us mercy through salvation. Jonah is not a perfect role model for us to follow, and I think most of us understand that. But he doesn't get everything completely wrong either. So in this part of Jonah's story, he gives us a clear example of what it looks like to call out to God when our sin is brought forth and we have these suddenly awakened fears of condemnation arise. Just like Jonah did in his state of desperation, we too can call out to God and experience his mercy through salvation. And when we talk about our lives being in a state of desperation, there are a couple different ways that this can take place. One way that this can take place is by our physical lives being in immediate distress or danger. And so just like Jonah was drowning out in the raging sea, there may be moments in our lives when extreme circumstances happen and we find ourselves completely hopeless and unable to deliver ourselves from the situation. Now, the other way that we can find ourselves in a state of desperation is one that applies to all of us. And so that is that all of us are born into the fallen, sinful state of our first parents, Adam and Eve. All of us are born with a disposition to sin, and we are hopeless to get out of it by our own strength. Every single one of us is born into this desperate condition. We're all like Jonah in that we fail to follow God's commands. And just like how God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, but he went the complete opposite way to Tarshish, we too can look at what God has commanded us in his word, and we see that we often do the exact opposite of what God's commanded. And not only that, but we're hopeless in trying to get out of it on our own. So there's no amount of good deeds we can do to cover over our sins, and neither is there a way for us to make a perfectly just God turn a blind eye toward our sins. God is a just judge who must deal with wickedness. And that includes the wickedness that we find taking place in our own hearts as well. But the good news is that just like Jonah did, we can call out to God in the midst of our desperation, and receive his mercy through salvation. The reason God shows Jonah salvation is because, just as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, God sent his son to spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And unlike Jonah, who was a prophet who didn't follow God's commands, Jesus Christ, God the Son, walked in perfect obedience to God's commands. And Jesus himself showed the people living in the first century, and even us today, how Jonah points to Christ and how we can find hope in Christ. And so Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, which if you want to turn to it, I believe it's on page 817 in the Bibles. And so Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 says, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And so in this passage, Jesus reminds us that Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, and was eventually delivered upon the dry land alive again. And in a similar way, after Jesus died on the cross to atone for the sins of all who would believe in him, he spent 3 days and three nights in a tomb in the earth. And afterwards, he came out of the tomb alive again. So the fact that Jonah was given a death sentence, spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, and came out upon the dry land alive, it ultimately points to the fact that Jesus was given the death sentence of crucifixion, that he spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb, and then came out of the tomb alive. And so this is the hope that all mankind is given, and the hope that we are to turn to in the midst of our desperate, sinful condition. That Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for all of our sins, past, present, and future, that he was buried for 3 days and three nights in the tomb, and that he rose from the dead to give eternal life to all who believe in him. And so if you call out to God for his mercy, then no matter what you've done, God will show you mercy through salvation, just like he did for Jonah. Jonah did absolutely nothing to earn God's favor or earn God's mercy. There was nothing that we've read about him so far that would make us think, this guy deserves to be saved. But because God is rich in mercy, God chose to be merciful to Jonah and rescue him from his distress in spite of everything that he's done. And the same opportunity is available for every one of us in Jesus Christ, regardless of how far you've turned away from God or sought to flee his presence. If you call out to him for mercy through Jesus, he will save you from your sins and give you the free gift of eternal life. Now, there might be some of you here thinking, that sounds great and all, but I don't think I've really done anything that bad. I'm not really in Jonah's situation, and so therefore I don't need to call out to God for mercy and salvation. Now, this kind of thinking fails to realize that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that our only hope of justification or being made righteous in God's sight is through the free gift of God's mercy and grace. Each of us has God's law written on our hearts, and we have the Bible, God's inspired word, handed down to us from the prophets and the apostles. And when we look at God's commands and compare them to how we live our lives, each and every one of us is going to fall short. Just like how Jonah received God's command and ran in the complete opposite direction away from him, we too have received God's commands, and if we're honest with ourselves, we often do the opposite of what's written. And this realization of our sin and our need of salvation can happen by God flipping the switch in our brain and we come to the realization that we sinned and we need God to save us. Or it can come the way Jonah experienced, where God puts you in a situation of complete hopelessness and the only escape is through God's hand of deliverance. And if you have not yet seen the desperate state of your own sin and called out to God to receive his mercy through salvation, then my hope is that God will right now bring to light your sin and your need for a Savior, that you might come to him and experience not only the forgiveness of sins, but that you would experience the freedom from the power of sin through Jesus Christ. And if you do not come to a realization of your need for a Savior, then I pray that God would put you in a situation where God is your only hope, that you would call out to God in the midst of your desperation and then receive God's mercy through salvation. And when we experience God's mercy through salvation, that enables us to have a heart of mercy that aligns with God's heart of mercy toward the lost. Whether you're just now beginning to experience God's mercy through salvation, or if you've known his saving mercy for a long time, God sanctifies his people by aligning their heart with his, which includes desiring mercy for the lost. You see, when We call out to God in the midst of our desperation, and we receive his mercy through salvation. God the Holy Spirit renews our mind and transforms our affections to align with God's. And when we have received God's mercy through his salvation, God dwells in us and works through us to minister to others. And as we who have received God's mercy interact with those in our circle of influence who have not received his mercy through salvation, we should earnestly desire for them to experience the love, mercy, and salvation that God freely offers in Jesus Christ. We should be pointing them to Jesus in every way possible, both in our speech, telling them about who Jesus is and what he's done for us, and also in our actions, living out our faith in Christ that shows the fruit of following him. And in addition to this, we should also be constantly praying that God would reveal his mercy to him, just as he did for us. So let's go ahead and take a couple minutes and pray for those, that they would receive God's mercy just as he's shown us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us, this example of Jonah, who's in this complete hopeless state, and that he calls out to you for salvation, that he calls out to you for your mercy, God. I pray that if there's anyone here who has not experienced your mercy, God, that has not experienced your saving grace, God, I pray that you would reveal their sin, God, that the light would come into the darkness and reveal that sin, and that they would see their need for a Savior, God, that they would see their need for saving grace, and that they would know that your saving grace is freely offered in Jesus Christ, and that he died and rose again in order to bring us to you, God, to save us and to make us right. And God, I pray that as we go out today and this week, God, that you would work through each of us, God, that again in our speech, that we would tell people about who Jesus is and everything that he's done for us, and that we would seek to go out and do good works that point others to you, God, that we would do those good works not as a means of trying to earn our salvation, but God, that we would do that as the fruit of being saved and the fruit of experiencing your mercy. And so God, again, we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.